It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 18th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today is the last day of the massive video game conference E3. There's been a lot of news, from the ability to build levels in Mario on the Wii U to new exclusive games for Xbox and PlayStation. There was even a demonstration of playing Microsoft's popular Minecraft video game with its HoloLens headset. Entertainment correspondent Adrian Hill has had a front seat at the conference in Los Angeles this week and joins us for the lowdown. Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Hey, Ben. I'm good. Thanks.
Let's talk first about virtual reality. This is a thing that has been present at past E3s and is present at the current E3. Has it arrived? Can we jack in?
I had expected virtual reality to have a bigger presence at this E3 based on all the press leading up to it, but Morpheus and Oculus were sort of back in the back a little bit. The line for Halo when I was there was 2 hours long. The line to play Morpheus was about 30 minutes. So there just wasn't the same kind of excitement, maybe, as I expected.
All right, fair enough. But what about controllers, Adrian? I know that there's been some independent controllers developed. There was a really weird-looking controller put together by Microsoft that was actually going to be used with Oculus. Tell me about controllers.
There were interesting things going on with controllers. Xbox unveiled its One Elite wireless controller. It's got triggers to help you shoot faster. I also checked out a booth for a company that billed itself as having the world's most advanced gaming mouse. Now, I didn't even realize there was such a thing as a gaming mouse, and I asked Jermaine Davis, who was working there, to really explain it to me.
The reactiveness of their mouse is important because every turn of the gun in a first-person shooter is important because that's one more second you have.
The other thing this mouse had was a 10-button keypad on the side so that gamers could set it to perform specific actions. So one could be your fireball, and two, you could swing your sword. Kind of like fancy golf clubs.
When you first said gaming mouse, I thought you were going to tell me about a tiny rodent on a couch surrounded by tiny Cheetos.
Which sounds like a fun game to me.
All right, what else, Adrian? This was your first time. You were experiencing so many new things. Was there anything that totally blew your mind and made you want to spend the next 84 hours playing video games again?
You know, I was watching a guy watch somebody else play God of War 3 Remastered. And this is not my kind of game. I'm not interested in fighting bosses. But the look on the guy's face, like, he was smiling like a little kid at Christmas. And I want to tap into that. So I'm going to hereby dedicate myself to becoming a better video game player.
Adrian Hill, Marketplace's entertainment correspondent. Adrian, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ben.
AT&T has been hit with a $100 million fine by the FCC. The record-breaking fine was for slowing down the speeds of customers who were paying for unlimited data plans up to 20 times, which is kind of like having old-school dial-up internet on your phone. You could call it a slap on the wrist, or you could look at AT&T's $132 billion in revenue last year, and maybe a tickle of the feather is more accurate. Marketplace Tech is a nonprofit, listener-supported service. To keep our coverage strong and relevant, think about making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today. Your gift, in any amount, counts twice, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. You can donate at marketplace.org by June 30th. It's time for the latest installment of our series where we go back to Back to the Future Part 2. The 1989 movie about time travel predicted a lot about technology that would be around in 2015, and now we're here. So you know the part in the movie when Doc uses binoculars to look for Marty McFly? Binoculars with face detection software in them? Let's talk more with Ryan Kahlo, assistant law professor at the University of Washington. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Ben. How are you?
I'm excited to talk about facial recognition technology and also a little bit scared.
Me too. Yeah, it is exciting and scary both.
All right. In the movie, Doc Brown has a pair of digital binoculars with this kind of like face detection technology. So like there's a little green box that appears around faces. So it basically recognizes faces.
Precisely on schedule.
I mean, we have this. I've used a phone camera. We have the thing that the movie displays, and we actually have much more than that. We've come farther than the movie.
You know, Ben, one of my favorite things recently is that Kate Crawford, my friend over at Microsoft Research, she tweeted about this technology called Church IX. The tagline is, know thy members.
Oh my gosh.
Basically what it does is it does recognition on just to figure out who's been attending. And so what you do is you upload pictures of your parishioners, and then as they come to church, you know, this technology makes a note about it and identifies the members who are attending your events. And, you know, if churches are doing it, what is the limiting principle here?
What are the limits right now to how this stuff is being used?
Well, we don't have limits as such. Like, I mean, there's a couple of states, I believe, that actually have facial recognition statutes. I'd be hard-pressed to tell you exactly what they say. But in general, there isn't really much limit in terms of grabbing your image.
Are there any really, like, positive uses of this that you can imagine, you know, uses other than Doc trying to find Marty McFly?
Well, I mean, I personally have no really serious objection for it to be used for security purposes in some circumstances. And you can also imagine it being an aid to people who have, for whatever reason, cognitive limitations that they're unable to recognize their friends or their family. So people who have, you know, an extreme face blindness, which is a real thing, or just think about Alzheimer's or just getting older, right? Just as, you know, there's a particular set of population that needs service animals.
Ryan Kahlo is an assistant law professor at the University of Washington. He's also an affiliate scholar at the Stanford Center for Internet and Society. Ryan, thank you for talking with me about this.
Thanks for having me.
You know, you can always reach us about this series by writing us at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. Pat Brown wrote us the other day. Pat says, I'm not sure if it's been pointed out yet, but in the movie, Doc said that in 2015, lawyers have been eliminated. That definitely didn't happen, and I wonder what Doc would think of today's patent trolls. Good question, Pat. I wonder what he would say.
Right, Scott!
I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.